असत्यान अनुसूचस्तं प्रज्ञावादां सभासस। लॉर्ड कृष्णा, हियर इट इज सेड, श्री भगवान उवाच, द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड सेड, भगवान, इट इज नॉट रिटन हियर, कृष्णा उवाच, because people might take Krishna as ordinary person, historical person. Therefore, the author, Vyasadeva, says, Bhagavan Uvaj. Bhagavan means the personality of Godhead. Personality of Godhead, that is definition. Who is personality of Godhead? There are many persons. We are all persons. All living entities, they are individual person. Just like you are a person, I am a person. A dog is also a person, a cow is also a person. Everyone is individual. But Bhagavan means the Supreme Person. As we are many persons here sitting together, but there is some difference. They are not equal in their status of life, in their understanding, in their knowledge, in their bodily feature, every individual person. We are not equal. I am thinking in different way, you are thinking in different way, my ambition is different, your ambition is different, my profession is different, your profession is different. In this way, if you study each and every person, you will find there are varieties. Not that everyone is thinking in the same way or living in the same way, no. That is called person. Everyone is individual person. Similarly, Bhagavan is also individual person. He is the Supreme Person, that is the difference. Just like in your country, in England, the Supreme Person is the Queen, but she is also a person like us. But if we study who is the greatest personality in this country, we come to the Queen. The Queen has got a definition. Who is a Queen? Similarly, when you speak of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is a definition. That is given in the Vedic literature by Parashar Muni, the father of Vyasadeva. Parashar Muni is one of the authorities in the Vedic literature. So he has given a definition, who is the Supreme Person. He has given Aishajasya Samagrasya Bijasya Jasasya Sriya Jnana Vairagyaschaiva Sara Iti Bhagangana. Aishajya means riches, wealth. One who possesses all the wealth. Now, here we are sitting. Say I have got $1,000, you have got $1,000,000, somebody has got more, you've gone. But nobody can claim that I am the possessor of all the wealth. That you cannot find. So Aishwarya Samagra. Samagra means complete. That you see, Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, he says that Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, I am the proprietor of all the universe. Nobody can say like that. You can say, I am the proprietor of such and such house, such and such business, such and such bank balance, or such and such country, like that. But nobody can say that I am the possessor of all the wealth of the universe. Aishwaryas, samagras, bijas. Bijas means strength, bodily strength. That also Krishna proved when he was present. Jasasa. Jasasa means reputation. You see, Krishna's reputation is still going on. All over the world, he is known. In your English dictionary, you will find his name and his book, the Bhagavad Gita, is read all over the world among the scholars, philosophers. Nobody can compete with his reputation. Take any historical person. So, Aishwaryasya Samagrasya Bijasya Jasasya Sriya. Sriya means beauty. He was personally so beautiful that he attracted so many young girls of Vrindavan, gopis. He's still standing before us. See how much he is beautiful. There is no comparison of his beauty. So, wealth, strength, reputation, beauty, and knowledge. Not that Krishna was simply beautiful and he was cutting jokes with the damsels of Vrindavan and enjoying. No, nobody could be compared with his knowledge. His knowledge is Bhagavad Gita. Still, the Bhagavad Gita, the knowledge which was delivered, say within half an hour, this Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna in the battlefield. Now, when Arjuna was just going to fight with his arrows and bows, he simply thought, oh, what I am going to do? I am going to kill my own men. The other side, they are only my brothers and nephews, grandfather. Oh, what sort of fight I am going to do? Krishna, it is not possible to fight. Better I give up my claim, let them enjoy. I cannot kill my kinsman, my family man. That was his position. But because Krishna was Arjuna's friend, so he thought, what nonsense, you are a fighter and you are talking all these sentiments. So he talked about something to encourage him to fight, and that is Bhagavad Gita. So just imagine how much time they could spare in the battlefield. At most half an hour or 1 hour. So the knowledge which Krishna gave to Arjuna, of course Arjuna also equally competent to understand Bhagavad Gita within 1 hour. Because Arjuna and Krishna, they are friends. So Arjuna had also equal qualification with Krishna, so that Krishna could speak and he could understand. This Bhagavad Gita, you calculate, it was spoken, say, half an hour to 1 hour, not even 1 hour. Whatever it may be, it is within 1 hour. It was spoken by Arjuna and by Krishna, and it was understood by Arjuna
But just see what is the depth of knowledge of this book, that at the present moment, big, big scholars, they are trying to understand one verse after one, there are only 700 verses. They are, I mean, it's a puzzle. So deep knowledge. So from the knowledge, from the wisdom point of view, Krishna, you have to accept the wisest. These are the qualifications. There are nowadays so many so-called avatars, incarnation of God, but according to the statement of Parashar Muni, that God means one must be richest than anyone, anywhere within the universe. One must be wisest. One must be the most beautiful. One must be the strongest. With knowledge and vairagya, unattached. The wisest, the most reputed, the most beautiful, the strongest, in spite of having all these qualifications, they are called six opulences. Bhava means opulence. Ban means one possesses. That is Bhava-ban. Just like generally in India it is said Bhagya-ban, Dhano-ban, Buddhi-ban, Buddhi-man. This Bhat-pratyaya, Mat-pratyaya is there when one possesses. So here it is specifically mentioned, Sri Bhagavan Uvach. We should take everything very diligently. Not that anyone comes, I am Bhagavan. We have to test whether he is the wisest, whether he is the strongest, whether he is the richest, whether he is the most reputed, then we accept. Don't accept any ordinary man simply cheating others and declaring himself that I am Bhagavan. Arjuna also tested. Arjuna knew he was Krishna's friend. He knew Krishna very well, but still he wanted to see his Virat Rupa, so that in future others may not cheat the innocent people. So Bhagavan Uvacha, the Krishna, his first lesson to Arjuna. Arjuna was speaking like a very learned man. Some of his statements were that if I kill my brothers, the wives of my brothers, they will become widow, and without husband, they may be polluted, and there will be unwanted children, Sankara, Varna Sankara. And if there are illicit children, then the world will be hellish. So these statements are nice. They are not, unnecessary. They are necessary for keeping the society in order. Every woman must have a husband, and the children must be born within, bona fide husband and wife. Then there will be good population. These things are Vedic statements. So Arjuna was speaking in that way. That is also like a learned man. But he was lamenting about the death of his kinsman. Therefore, Krishna says that अशोच्यान अनुशोचस्तम प्रज्ञावादां सुभाषसे. यू आर टॉकिंग लाइक ए वेरी लर्नड मैन एज अथॉरिटी बट यू आर लैमेंटिंग ऑन समथिंग व्हिच नो लर्नड मैन डज. गतासुं अगतासुं सनानु सूचन्ति पंडिता. पंडिता मीन्स लर्नड मैन. The thing is that we may be very learned men. Some of them, some of us may be lawyers, some of us may be medical practitioners, some of us may be very expert businessmen, so many things, engineers. But if we do not know the value of our life, then, according to the statement of Bhagavad Gita, we are not Pandita, we are not learned. That is the first statement. That you are lamenting on a subject matter which no learned man does. That means you are a fool, in a very mild language. In such a way, Nanu Sochanti Pandita, those who are learned, they do not like that. That means you are a fool. So, this knowledge which Krishna is going to deliver about this body and about the soul, that is the beginning of knowledge. Without this knowledge, any other knowledge, that is not our success, that is our defeat. In Bhagavatam it is stated that parabhava means defeat. Parabhava stavat, so long, abodha jata, those who are born foolish, rascals. Javanna jigyasata atma tattam, so long one is not awakened to the standard, to the position, to inquire about the soul. You may be big engineer, big doctor, big lawyer, but if you do not know what is soul and what is this body, then whatever you have learned, that is your defeat of life. Parabhava. Why defeat? Yes, it is defeat. In this sense, that the soul is there. All of us, we are individual souls. That will be explained in this chapter. And just you are sitting all here in different dresses. Similarly, this body is the dress of me, and I am the soul. It's like I say, this is my hand. I don't say I hand. Nobody says. If I ask you, even a child, you ask child, sometimes we play a joke with children, what is this? My finger. So, every one of us will say, it is my finger, my hand, my head, my leg, my body, but where is you? So this is a very sober question. You see, I am saying, it is my hand, my leg, my head, but I am not finding out where I am. And that is called yoga system, to find out where I am and who I am. This inquiry, unless this inquiry is there, he's animal. The animal has no such inquiry. Neither the animal has the capacity to understand what I am. Similarly, if a human being does not understand himself, what he is,
then he remains an animal. Therefore, all his knowledge acquiring is defeat, because he does not know himself. So, everyone should try to understand this. Unfortunately, there is no educational system throughout the whole world to inquire about this, what I am. The whole educational system is parabhava, is defeat. Therefore, people are not happy. In spite of so much educational advancement, especially I am in America for the last 4 or 5 years, I have seen there are so many nice universities. They have no scarcity of money, very nice buildings, very nice, everything is there. But they are producing hippies. Let's see. Why? Because that is not their fault. This hackneyed type of education has been disgusted without any actual knowledge. I don't blame the hippies. They are searching after something, substance. They are disappointed in the modern system of education or system of civilization. It is a protest, but it is a fact that they are searching after something sublime. Yes. And that is the beginning of human life, because in the Vedanta Sutra, the first aphorism is Athata Brahma Jigyasa. Now this life, this human form of life, is meant for inquiring about Brahma. What is Brahma? There is no university to answer. But the Vedic literature, this Vedic civilization, this Krishna consciousness movement can answer. Therefore, these students, these young boys and girls who are after this Krishna consciousness movement, they are getting the answer. Even they were formerly hippies, but now they have got the answer. One of my students in Hawaii, he was a hippie leader. Now, after studying our literature, the whole cell, the whole body have become our disciples. So, this is the question and this is the answer. People are engaged whole day and night, producing something and enjoying for sense gratification. But they do not know what is the value of life. The value of life is, this human form of life is a chance. We do not admit even, we are so full that how we are tools in the hands of material nature. We are very much proud of our education, our wealth, our intelligence. But we do not know what is going to happen after that. The most learned philosophers or professors, they speak, after finishing of this body, everything is finished. They are so much in darkness, still they are leaders of the society, they are professors, they are learned. This is going on. The Bhagavad, they have been described that andha jatha andhai rupaniyamana stipi satantra urudam nibaddha. These people are tied up with hard knots by the ropes of material nature, but still they are declaring themselves as free. They are so blind. And these blind leaders are leading many other blind followers. Andhajathandhirupaniyamana. They are tied up by themselves. Just like in Russia, they say, we don't believe in God. We want to live without any God. But they have created another God, the Lenin. Instead of going direct under the direction of God, they have created another God. And they are going under that direction. So, this is not a fact that you do not care for God. You have to care for God. But your God may be a dog. That is a different thing. But you have to be under the direction of God. That's a fact. You cannot deny. This morning when I was walking, some of our students inquired, if somebody says that I do not believe in God, what is the immediate answer? And the immediate answer is that you come to the street, instead of going to the right, you go to the left, and here is a constable, he is your God. Immediately he will arrest you and harass you. So how you can say that you are independent of God? There is God for everyone, but the status of God may be different. One may be worshipping a police constable as God. One may be worshipping his boss as God. One may be worshipping his leader as God. So in this way, everyone is worshipping some sort of God. But we are worshipping the Supreme God. That is the difference. That is the difference. You cannot live without God, but your God may be of different quality. And my God may be of different quality. Now what is the difference quality? We are selecting God. The richest, the most reputed, the most beautiful, the most wise, that is our God. You are selecting a God who is less intelligent, no knowledge, not beautiful, not so strong, a false God. That is the difference. Everyone has to accept some God, because it is the nature of every living entity to serve under somebody superior. That is the definition given by Lord Chaitanya. Jiver sarup hoy nitya Krishna das. Every living entity is by nature, by his constitution, position, is a servant. But he is originally servant of Krishna. But because he has forgotten Krishna, he has to become servant of so many people. Generally, so long we are not servant of God, we are servant of our senses. That is our position. We have to become servant. But our present position is that we are servant of our senses. I accept to serve somebody, not to that person, but that somebody gives me some money, and with that money I satisfy my senses. So because I am servant of my sense, I agree to serve somebody even I do not like it. So everyone is servant. Somebody is servant of his senses, and somebody is servant of the master of the senses. Krishna's another name is Rishikesha.
Rishik, Rishik means senses. And Isha, Isha means master. Rishikesa, Rishikena, Rishikesa, Sevanam Bhaktiruchat. We are serving the senses. The material enjoyment means sex, the highest enjoyment conceivable within this material world is sex, everyone. So, sex is also one of the senses. That so long we serve the senses, then we are materialist. And as soon as we serve the master of the senses, we are spiritualist. That is the difference between a devotee and non-devotee. Non-devotee is engaged in the service of his senses. The eyes dictate, please take me to that beautiful place. Immediately I have to go. The tongue dictates, please immediately take me to that restaurant. Yes, come on. Please give me immediately a cigarette. Yes, take it. So senses are dictating. Everyone. That is conditioned life. Conditioned life means one who is going on by the dictation of the senses. The same dictation, also devotees are also, just like Arjuna and Krishna. Why Arjuna is accepted as a great devotee of Krishna? Because he agreed to abide by the orders of the master of the senses, instead of being abided by the orders of his own senses. He decided not to fight because he was being dictated by his senses. He's my nephew, he's my brother, he's my grandfather. If I kill, then my senses will not be satisfied. So I don't fight. That means he was trying to satisfy his senses. But when he agreed to fight, after the instruction of Krishna, he wanted to abide by the orders of the master of the senses. The carrying out order of some superior is there. In the beginning, the position was that he was trying to carry out the order of his own senses. But at the end, after learning Bhagavad Gita, he gave up that position to satisfy his own senses, but he took the position to satisfy the senses of Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. We have to change our position. Instead of satisfying my senses, we have to satisfy the sense of Krishna. This is Krishna consciousness movement. All our students being trained up in that way, that Krishna's instruction, asuchyanu nisuchastam pragnavadam savas. So long one is servant of the senses, he cannot speak anything right, because he is servant of the senses. It is not possible. So anyone, however good scholar, big philosopher, he may be, if he is servant of his senses, he cannot deliver you the right thing. That is not possible, because immediately he becomes conditioned. A conditioned living entity means he has got four defects. A conditioned living entity is sure to commit mistake. A conditioned living entity is sure to be under illusion. A conditioned living entity is sure to cheat others. And a conditioned living entity is sure to have senses which are imperfect. imperfect. All our senses are imperfect. Therefore, it is a necessity. It's like Arjuna. Arjuna was thinking with his imperfect senses. Now, therefore, when he thought that I cannot come to the right conclusion by exercising my imperfect senses, that is human life. When one understands that I am trying to get knowledge with my imperfect senses, it is not possible. Then he comes to his senses, atha brahma jigyasa, that is his right position. So long he thinks that I am thinking rightly, my knowledge is perfect, he is a grand fool, that's all. Therefore Krishna says, Arjuna also, first of all he was talking with Krishna as friend, but when he thought it wise that we are talking like friends, this will not come to any conclusion, he surrendered to Krishna, Shishyasteham Sadhimam Prapannam. My dear Krishna, so long I was talking with you as friend to friend, but I don't think this will be producing any good result. Therefore, I surrender unto you as your disciple. Shishyasteham. Shishya means voluntarily accepting the orders of the spiritual master. Voluntary. That is called Shishya. Shishya means one who agrees voluntarily to accept any order from the spiritual master. And that is called Shishya. Shasdhatu, ruling. Who accepts the ruling of the spiritual master, he is called Shishya. So Arjuna placed himself to the position of Shishya. Shishyasti ham sadhimang prapannam. This is the right process of knowledge. If we are with our imperfect senses, we try to carry out advancement of knowledge, that will never be perfect. We have to receive knowledge from the perfect source. That knowledge is perfect. Just like a child, he is always receiving knowledge from the parents. He is not concluding anything by his own research. He asks father, daddy, what is this? Daddy explains, this is this. And he accepts. This is our position. Similarly, we have to receive knowledge from the perfect source, otherwise our knowledge is imperfect. Here Krishna says, Krishna has taken the position, superior position of spiritual master, and Arjuna has placed himself under Krishna to be taught, and he begins the deliverance of knowledge in this way. First of all, he chastised that you are thinking, that everyone thinks, I am very much advanced in knowledge. I don't require any spiritual master. I don't require any guru. I'll get knowledge by my own effort, mental speculation. That is not possible. We have to receive knowledge from the right source. And who can be better right person than Krishna? So our process is very perfect. We take knowledge from Krishna and we distribute that knowledge. We don't create, don't manufacture knowledge. Our position is very safe. Just like peon. Peon's business is to take the letter and deliver to the right person. Here is your letter, sir. He does not open the letter or add something, nonsense. No, that is not peon's business. So our business is that to receive knowledge from Krishna. Krishna says that there is soul. In the next verse he will explain that Nattivaham jatunasang nattanga nimi janadhipa nachaibam na bhavishyama sarve vayam mataparam. My dear Arjuna, don't think that you me and all these kings and soldiers who have assembled on this battlefield, they are not existing before, or they will not existing after. That means eternal. They are all souls. Don't think like that. Na tu eva ahang jatu na sang na tang nemi janadi. Na chaiva na bhavishyam. It is not that we shall, just like the learned professor in Moscow, he said, after finishing this body, everything is finished. This is nonsense. And the whole world is going on under this nonsense idea. This is a nonsense civilization. You cannot be happy with this nonsense civilization. You must have to take this question. Thank you very much.
And do you want any questions?
If anyone has any questions pertaining to tonight's lecture, apropos only to what Prabhupada spoke tonight, kindly raise your hands and address it.
Earlier in your remarks, you said we were all individual souls. Now, what are you using in that sense? Metonymic sense? I understand that the soul is the vehicle of the spirit. Sometimes the words are equated, used interchangeably. In Christendom, usually, people use the term soul when they really mean the spirit. But he was using the word individual souls. I wondered if he meant individual spirits, or if he sees no difference in the two.
Yes, terms. Individual spirit.
But you said
individual.
Yes.
Soul. Soul is individual. Soul is individual.
And what is spirit?
Spirit and soul, the same thing.
You equate the two terms?
Yes. You are a spiritual spark, just like fire.
Is the soul create or uncreate?
Uncreate. It is existing.
Well,
forever.
I understand that the spirit is self-existent.
Yes.
The soul is a created entity.
No, created. Not created. It has no creation, nor not annihilation.
You use the two anyway, equally.
Yes.
Interchangeably.
The soul, this soul being encased in this body, it appears that the soul is changing or dying or taking birth, but the birth and death is taking place of the body, not of the soul. The soul is being carried by the subtle body, mind, intelligence and ego, to another body. Just like this body, in soul, you have changed so many bodies. You are a child, you are a baby, you are a boy, you are a young man, now you have got a different body. Similarly, after this body, you will get another body.
I understand that. But
yes.
The whole point on this question, whether the soul is the vehicle of the spirit. If you say they're one and the same thing, well...
No, soul and spirit, we mean the same thing.
You take them exactly
the same thing.
Any further questions?
What did you say?
I was just going to mention the fact that you were saying that our senses were deceiving us, our human senses. But would it be wrong to say the human sense that we felt wonderful after running a mile and a half every day, with shorts on the track, and keeping our body physically strong?
He says, are the essential pleasures of the senses, material senses, are they deceiving us?
Yeah. So long you'll be addicted to the material sense enjoyment, you will get a body, material body, so that you as a soul, you will never be liberated.
Well, what about being physically fit, let's say as a
a runner who runs every day and gets enjoyment out of feeling physically fit and strong.
So everyone is physically fit. You are physically fit, and a dog is also physically fit. What is that?
That is unnecessary to do
that. Huh? Sure. No, that fitness you get according to the body. That's all. But that change of body is not your business. That is your engagement. You have to be free from this bondage of material body, and you have to develop your spiritual body, then you will be happy. Then you will get eternal light of blissful knowledge. Then you will be happy. That is your problem. But if you continue to be encased by any type of material body, you will suffer. The suffering is due to this body. So, your business is how to get out of this material body and develop our spiritual body and attain eternal blissful life of knowledge. Yes.
I think your speech could be summarized in this, that spiritual life is superior to material life. But as I see from the people living in this world, I find that the people who believe in the material way of living are stronger, healthier, powerful.
Can you conquer our death? Then what kind of strong you are? That tiger is also very strong. That is not life. Tiger, nobody takes care of the tiger. He is very strong. That kind of strength is useless strength. If you cannot conquer our death, what is the value of your strength? No, first of all, try to understand what is strength. Strength means when you conquer over birth, death, old age and disease, then you are strong. But if you are forced to become old man, if you are forced to be under the clutches of disease, if you are forced to die, then what is the value of your strength? First of all, estimate your strength. Then what is the value of your strength?
Yes, I understand.
I'm
not talking in a negative sense.
I'm
individual.
Now, what is the individual or collective? Who is the group that they have conquered over death, disease, and old age?
But they are trying now.
They're trying. Everyone is trying. That is not. That is nonsense. Trying. Everyone will say, "I'm trying to be multimillionaire. I'm lying on the street." What is the value of this saying? Now I'm lying on the street, I'm trying to be multimillionaire. Everyone can say like that. Be multimillionaire, then say. Then your strength is there. Prove by your strength that we have saved this man. He has become immortal. He has no more disease. That is strength. This kind of strength has no value.
Christendom.
No, we are not concerned with West and East. We are talking of philosophy.
I just wanted to ask you a question.
Yes.
It's taught in the Bible that people who are not liberated are dead already. Do you agree with that?
Yes, we are not liberated.
Pardon?
Every one of us not liberated. So long we are in this body, we are not liberated.
We are dead already.
Yeah, the body is dead. But I am not dead. Just like you are not your dress. Your dress is dead. But you are not dead. You don't conclude because you have got a dead coat that for you are also dead. That is not very good intelligence. You are living, but your coat and shirt, they are dead. Similarly, your body is dead. That's a fact. It is a dead body. As soon as you, the spirit soul, go out of this body, you are dead. So it is dead, practically. So without spiritual knowledge, it is simply decorating the dead body, that's all. The modern education is simply decoration of the dead body, that's all. I am an engineer. This dead body, I am now identifying to become engineer. But as soon as the body is finished, your engineering is finished. You get another body. It may be a dog's body. So the engineering, this medical practitioner, this lawyer, is simply decoration of this dead body. So what is the value of decorating a dead body? Lokaranyanam. Apranasya hi devasya mandanam lokaranyanam. That is stated in the Vedic literature. Decoration of the dead body means satisfying some admirers, that's all. It is no value. The real knowledge is to understand what I am, why I am suffering these threefold miseries of this material world, how to get out of it, if there is any way. This is knowledge. This is actual knowledge. Not to decorate the dead body. Yes.
Are thoughts in your mind the only thing that bar your way to self-realization?
Are the thoughts in the mind, do they stop us from becoming self-realized? Are these the only things that stop us from becoming self-realized?
Well, when we become actually self-realized, your actual business begins, and that is unlimited, not stopping. When you self-realize, when you realize yourself, then unlimited thinking begins. At the present moment, the mind can think very limitedly, because the body is limited, the scope is limited. And when you are liberated, the spiritual mind, that is unlimited thinking. There is no question of stoppage. It is increasing. Anandambudhi vardhanam, that is stated. The ocean of pleasure increases. Here in the ocean, they are limited. But in the spiritual world, the ocean of pleasure increases more and more. Anandambudhi vardhanam. Vardhanam means increasing. Anandambudhi, the pleasure of pleasure. Aversion of pleasure. Here, any pleasure you take, that is limited. But in the spiritual world, the pleasure is unlimited. These things should be discussed. They're unfortunate, there is no educational institution. What is soul? What is soul's constitution? How he enjoys? What is life? Nothing. We are, this Krishna consciousness movement, trying to give it. So try to understand. That is our request.
Many thoughts and faiths are not same thing. Same tracker, many thoughts are
different. He says that he thinks peaceful life means having no thoughts and void of thoughts.
That is imagination. You cannot be without thought. That is another nonsense. That was to become without thought. There is another displeasure, trying to be without thought. A thought is coming. That is not possible. This is a frustration, that this kind of thinking is giving me trouble to make it void. That is a negative idea only, but that is not possible. That is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Klesha adhikatara stesham of bhaktya sakta chetasa. He is trying to be thoughtless, but it is not possible. Thoughts are coming one after another, one after another. You cannot become without thought for a second. But I am thinking that I want to finish all these thoughts. But that is another type of miserable condition of life. You cannot do that. Because so long you are living, there must be thoughts. Without thoughts, there is no meaning of living entity. So you cannot stop it. You have to rectify the thoughts. That will make you happy. not that finishing the stop. Just like you cannot see with your eyes, you have got some disease. It is not to pluck out the eyes, to cure the eyes. When you see, then you enjoy. The treatment, the physician says, you pluck out the eyes. And that's not a good treatment. So you cannot be thoughtless. That is not possible. You have to purify your thoughts, then you'll be happy. Yes.
You said that everyone has to have a controller, a God.
Yes.
So that some people are trying to become without controllers.
That is nonsense. A nonsense may try like that. But no sane man will speak like that, not try like that. Can you show any man within this meeting he is without a controller? His sense is controlling him. And he thinks, I am free. That is nonsense. He is being controlled by his senses. And he is thinking, I am free. This is called lunacy.
Do you accept that there is nothing wrong with desire? What is the trouble, is the difficulty to attain the desire?
Yes, you have to desire according to Krishna. Just like Arjuna, he was desiring in the beginning not to fight. But when he agreed to abide by the desire of Krishna, he became liberated. So you have to purify your desire. At the present moment, you are desiring independently. But when you desire according to the dictation of Krishna, then you are purified. That's a child acts. When he acts independently, it is foolish. And when he acts under the direction of teacher or parents, that is nice. So activities of the child cannot be stopped. But he has to act by the orders of the superior, then it is nice.
Decorating of body by becoming doctors or something like that is no good. Then what do you think about Chanak and others?
Chanak?
Yes.
What is that?
Chanak, who was bad.
Shushruta
and everybody, they were bad.
Our point is that decoration of the body, simply if we divert our attention simply for decoration of the body, then we are misusing our time. But if we make the best use of a bad bargain, that this body, human body, we have got, and in this body we can realize what is soul, what is God, what is our relationship, then it is very nice. Otherwise, it is simply decoration of the body. Do you follow?
No,
I don't say necessary. It is necessary to maintain the body. Suppose you take bath, you eat. It is necessary. But you utilize. You utilize this body for the purpose for which you have given this body. Then it is all right. This human form of body is given to you by nature's. By nature's gift, there are so many other bodies, cats and dogs. In that body, they cannot realize what is soul, what is God, what is our relationship. But in this body, you can do that. So, if you utilize this body for that purpose, then it is proper utilization. Otherwise, it is simply decoration of the body. this body is meant for tapasya. Tapasya, voluntarily accepting some inconveniences so that I may make progress in my spiritual life. That is Vedic civilization. Tapasya, tapo divyam, to purify. Now suppose I decorate this body very nicely. That does not mean I am free from the threefold miserable condition of